We just want to thank you all for, it's different than to say receiving us here. We've been going all over the place. God has opened up so many doors for us to go everywhere and tell the testimony. But we also get to minister while we're there. We're up in above Spokane, and what's that town called? Chihuahua, a little town just south of the border of Canada. And me and my wife got to minister to a church up there, and also a group of people that do a Bible Institute training. And it was really great. But I thought to myself, and when I was talking to the people, I said, the Lord loves you so much. They don't have a major highway. They don't have an airport in the sense of big airplanes coming in. They don't even have a major ship line coming in there. And yet the Lord chose me and my wife to go up and tell this testimony to a small church up there because they love Jesus. So it doesn't matter how big you are, or how small you are. In God's eyes, you're number one. That's all that counts. So I'll give it into my wife. She's going to say a few words, and then I'm going to come back.
Praise the Lord. You know, when Dean told me that he was going to be speaking, I thought it was just going to be him speaking. And I thought, well, I'll get out of speaking today. That's going to be great. So, you know, I want you to know that all the time, I don't want to speak all the time. And I don't always want to be up in front. And so I want you to know that that's not one of my greatest desires. But, you know, I believe that God has, you know, he puts you in positions sometime, you know, and for you to be able to do those things. But, you know, it's like when he told me, I was like, I don't feel like it. Have y'all ever been that way? You just didn't feel like doing something? Raise your hand. I mean, I want to know, because if there is anybody in here that has it, I want you to come and we're just going to have prayer right now. Because I just did not feel like it. I was like, oh, Lord, if I could just get out of it today. I don't want to talk. I don't want to speak. But, you know, how many of us know that if we went by our feelings and we're doing things for Christ, and if we let our feelings take hold of us, that it will run us out of the ministry. It will keep us from doing what God wants us to do if we go by our feelings. And our relationship with Christ is not a matter of feelings. It's about relationship and feelings. It's not going to always be there, right? Amen. Well, I just want to share briefly for those of you who didn't hear our testimony, just some of the things that Dean went through and what was diagnosed in his, you know, in the medical records. And this is just kind of a list of them. And of course, Dean went through the transcripts and the medical records again last night and just printed out some of these. And I just want y'all to know just kind of some of the things that the doctors were saying about him. And it said that he had acute renal failure and that he had multiple organ failure. Of course, his prognosis was poor. And for some of you, he went in there for kidney stones, you know, and I'll just kind of stop right there. He went in for kidney stones and he spent 13 days in the hospital, and 9 of those days he spent in intensive care unit. Also, it says here that he had respiratory failure and he had prolonged cardiac arrest of 1 hour and 45 minutes. His liver was shocked. He had severe sepsis. His blood sugar was at 400 and 500. And for those of you who know about, well, your blood sugar, it's when you, sometime you're a diabetic and your insulin and your blood sugar goes up to that point. And, he had a post cardiac arrest, is what they said. And, there are so many other things that talked about, his toes had become cyanotic to the point where his toes had lost circulation and, you know, they were thinking about amputating his toes, cutting his toes off. And so just to let you know, just briefly, some of those things that he went through And I want you to know that he is a walking miracle today, and that God has raised him up. And that, you know, there were so many of us that had to stand in the gap, and I stood in the gap and prayed and interceded for him. And how many of us know that, you know, God gives us authority over all the principalities and powers, that he gives us authority over the powers of darkness. And we don't have to be good to evil spirits. Amen. You do not have to be good to the devil. You do not have to be good to evil spirits. So stop it. Okay. Just stop it. God has given you authority in Jesus' name. And, you know, I just want to encourage you today that it just, you know, just a few things, you know, use God's word as the first resource and not your last resort. Let the word of God have the final authority in your life. The word of God is able to build you up and to give you your inheritance. You are a joint heir with Jesus Christ and an heir of God. Praise the Lord. And to meditate upon the word of God and to apply it to your life. And the knowledge of God's word is only powerful when we act upon it. We have to be doers of the word. We have to act upon the word. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And to be in the word and in prayer daily. Daily. It's 24/7. Take up your cross and follow him. So praise God. I'm going to let Dean have it now.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. One of the things that me and my wife try to do is that she speaks before me. We do that for a number of reasons. But when I came back, when they took the ventilator out of my mouth or the breathing tube out of my mouth, one of the things I knew more than anything else is that what had happened to me was huge. It was a miracle. And I didn't want to take it and use it in any way that would dishonor my father. You know, I've been there. Some of you may not think I have, but when you get there, you'll know I've been there.
Absolutely.
You that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're not going to go there. And don't let anybody tell you you're going to miss heaven. What's going to happen is you're going to hell. A lot of times we say you're going to miss heaven. But the bottom line is you're going to hell. So I say that because I can't say it any other way. But you that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, whether you believe me or not today, when you get there, you'll know I've been there. Okay? And I'll be glad you're there. I don't have to be right. Do you hear what I just said? I don't have to be right. But what I do want is that you're there.
Amen.
That you're there. That you experience what I experience. And more. Mm-hmm. And more. There's a scripture outside of this church. Let me stop here. Is my son in this room?
He's here.
Where's my son? Stand up. That's my son. He's my baby boy. He loves Jesus. And I don't say that today just to let you know. When we were coming, we wanted to make it for Bible school this morning, or, you know, this morning that John teaches, our Pastor Cook teaches. It's very important for us to try to be there. And I told him that we were leaving. He said, "Dad, I didn't know you were leaving so soon." I said, "Well, we want to make sure we make it for this training." And he said, "Well, I've got to read and pray before I leave." Do you hear what I just said? Do you just hear what I just said? He said, "I have to read and pray before I leave." He's only 20 years old. His relationship is with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he has great respect for me and his mom, but I'll be honest with you. If he didn't have that relationship with Jesus Christ, where would his respect be for me? Where would his respect be for his mother? So I'm encouraging him every time I can to follow Jesus. Because Jesus is his Lord. And I just wanted to point that out about him. He don't like it.
He does not like that at all. He doesn't like it at all. I'll just say that to you. But outside of this church, on the wall and on the sign out front is a scripture. You guys seen it? John 14:6. You guys seen it? And I wonder in my heart, do you really understand what it is saying? Because we pass by it all the time. See, one of the things that happened to me, and I'll be honest with you, is truth is so important. Truth is so important. God is truth.
Amen.
And everything that he has said is truth. See, truth is real. A lie is not. Do you hear what I'm saying? It sounds simple, but it's so profound if you can grab it.
Yep.
Truth is true, is real.
Amen.
A lie is not. Many of you are living on a lie. And I can guarantee you, lies don't get into heaven.
That's right.
The Bible even says liars don't get into heaven. But I'm going to tell you something else. Lies don't get into heaven. But the truth does.
Yes.
And outside of this building on the wall and outside near the road is a sign. And it says John 14:6. And it's truth. Some of you probably passed by it, didn't recognize it, or you looked at it and wondered what it was. It's truth.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm desiring for this body that we belong to, this body that we belong to, that you have the same revelation I have. I desire that.
Mm-hmm.
I pray that over this body. I pray that you have the same experience I had. And I don't mean in dying, but I mean in the sense of going to heaven.
Amen.
Because you that are born again have inside of you the Holy Spirit. And whether you know it or not, he's connected to the Father and Jesus.
Amen.
And some of those way out things that you think are way out there sometimes are the truth. And your spirit knows it. And I desire that you can grab a hold of that and realize it and move forward. Truth is real. A lie is not. See, today in our world, visual deception is increasing.
Right.
Did you just hear what I just said?
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah.
And I don't have time to share it today, but since you're family to me, can I say that? Can I do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Since you're family to me, when I was there, Jesus downloaded 8 things inside of me for the end of this age. And one of them, he said, visual deception will increase in this world. There is so many things that you look at, that you see, that you believe. And it's a lie. It's a lie. You can go to the movies today, or you can get a video game, or you can play on your computer, whatever you want to do. And you can make any object, person, do miraculous things. Am I correct? And if you watch that enough, you believe that's reality. Am I correct? So when reality comes, when someone really is healed, what do you question? Oh, this must be a fake.
Yeah.
This must not be real.
Yeah.
They changed something here.
Yeah.
Do you hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't understand that truth is truth.
Amen.
And you have the Holy Spirit inside of you that's connected with the what? Truth giver. Do you hear what I just said? You literally have the Holy Spirit inside of you connected to the truth giver.
Amen. Praise God.
And outside of this building on the wall, I keep on pointing there because, see, I want every one of you to look at it when you leave today. You know, it was said that you came in here in one way and you're going to leave a different way. I want to make sure one of the ways you leave is that you look at that wall and you see what was out there.
Amen.
And when you look at that sign, you see what's out there. There's a reason for that.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that. I can't go into it today, but there's a reason for it. It says this in John, the 14th chapter, the first through the sixth verse. And I say this in my testimony quite often. It says this: do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many, many dwelling places. And I'm reading out of the New American Standard Version. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's truth. When Mary walked up to Elizabeth that had the baby on the inside that we call John the Baptist, the baby on the inside of Elizabeth knew that the baby on the inside of Mary was truth.
Yes.
And when the baby on the inside of Elizabeth realized that the baby on the inside of Mary was in his presence, the baby jumped.
Yes, it did.
Anytime we come into the presence of truth, we should be jumping on the inside. Do you hear what I just said? Because now your spirit, the real you, you may think this flesh is the real you, but when I died and I went to heaven and I went to be where the Father and Jesus is, I left this body behind. It did not go. Only my spirit and my soul went. That's the only things that went. This body stayed where it was, in that hospital room with all those people working on it, trying to revive it.
Yeah.
And the demons trying to destroy it.
Yeah.
Can't go there today. Wish I could. But the reality is, that's what happens.
Right.
Many people die before their time. We always think it's time. Was it my time? It wasn't my time. And I didn't believe like that. To be honest with you, I did not have that time bit in it. I figured if I go, it's time for me to go. But when I went and Jesus said back to me, it's not your time, go back. He let me know, you're wrong in your thinking.
Amen.
You're wrong in your thinking. It is your time. You are not supposed to be here. And if I didn't have a praying wife with praying friends, what would have happened to that body? Because some of you don't know this, but I couldn't have entered anybody else's body. The rule is you enter your own body. I know some of you wish you could leave your body and get somebody else's body. But let me tell you something. You know that old saying, the grass is always greener on the other side until you get there, huh? And you don't know what that body got all going on in it. You better stick with what God gave you. He didn't make no mistake. He gave you a good body. When you look at it in the mirror, you thank God. Say, God, thank you for this body. Because it's your body. And no one else can get in it. I'm just letting you know that. So I could not go to another body. I had to come back to this body. This body right here. And I needed people to be praying over this body for me to return. Because the rule is this. You leave your body, it's up for grabs. Did you hear what I just said? And if you are a born again, loving the Lord, walking the way you should be walking, as soon as you leave your body, every demon around you knows that you left your body. And their assignment is kill the body. We kill the body, we keep him out of this world. Because John, you talk too much about Jesus. You lead too many people to Jesus. So you leave your body, let's destroy that body.
Yeah.
I can't get into a detail, but that's what goes on. But my wife, with many friends, prayed. And God protected this body.
Amen.
So when I came back, I had a body to go into.
Yeah.
But when I left this body.
Yep.
Understand that. Jesus, whether you know it or not, is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. I was in Hawaii recently on a business trip. I really didn't want to go. And some of you say, what is wrong with you? I hate to say this, but I've been someone much greater.
Amen.
I'm just telling you the truth. I've seen something much greater. Okay, and not that Hawaii's bad, but to me, it's Earth. And there's a lot of beautiful places on this planet besides Hawaii. I went to Honolulu. It reminded me of Disneyland. I'm just being honest with you because they were cleaning the streets at 6 o'clock in the morning. And that's what they do in Disneyland. Make sure every trash is off the street. So us tourists look like we're in a clean place. All right. I get to Hawaii and I'm there for a business trip. And I'm thinking I'm going to get to share my story with all my Christian friends that belong to this organization I belong to, which is called Reclaiming Futures, which is sponsored by Robert Wood Johnson, Johnson & Johnson, the baby power people. Okay. And so we all get there. We're in the process of redefining how we treat kids in the juvenile justice system. That's what we're all about. So we come from all over the United States and we come to Hawaii. And I think I'm going to get to talk to my friends about my experience, because the last time they had one of these, guess where I was? Laid up in bed. I had died. Okay? And they all heard that I was not supposed to be coming back. Do you hear what I'm saying? So here comes this, as they always say now, I don't really like the joke, but I'll go with it. Walking dead person, you know. They said this is the walking dead, you know what I mean? To be honest with you, I was more alive there than I am here.
Amen.
Ooh, think about it.
Yeah. Amen.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the bottom line was this. I thought I was going to share with all these people about what happened to me. That were my friends that I knew were Christians. But that's not what happened. What happened was this. People heard what happened to me. So the leaders of this organization, the top people of this organization, asked to meet with me so they could ask me questions about what it was like in heaven.
Good.
Do you hear what I'm saying to you? These were not born again people. Maybe two or three of them were, but the majority of them didn't believe that. They believe in Buddha, Hindu, Muhammad. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And Native American beliefs.
Right.
Okay. But I got to sit around this table with about 15 or 16 people that run this organization and tell them about my experience about going to heaven. And the question came up, well, can't you get there by Buddha? Can't you get there by Muhammad? Can't you get there by, you hear what I'm saying? And I had to tell them the truth.
Yep.
I had to tell them the truth. You only get there by one way. And that's Jesus.
Amen.
If you think you're going to get there any other way, no.
Right.
It's not going to happen. Ironically, and I say ironically, the top person, PhD, you know, you have to have PhDs and all that stuff in this field. You have anything? No, you don't know anything until you go to school and you learn it. I'm not saying that's bad, but I'm just saying then if you don't go to school and you know something, they act like you don't know nothing because you didn't go to school. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the top person with her PhD, and she's a good person, all right, mother just happened to be dying at the same time. Just happened to be dying at the same time. And her mother was at total peace about dying. Because in my heart, I believe her mother knew the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the only people that are at peace of going up, dying are the people that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Amen.
All those other people, when they die, oh boy, they scared. They're hoping what they believe is real. Do you guys hear what I'm saying? But us that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and have the Holy Spirit inside of us, we know.
Amen.
We know it is real.
Yes. Hallelujah.
It is. So she was there. And I'm sharing this experience of going to heaven and seeing all these things that I saw and how much Jesus loves me. If you got a copy of the CD, if you got, you know, that's what I emphasize. It's the love of God that's for us. All right. I could tell you about all the other things, and some of you like to hear all the other things, and that's good. That's okay. But the one thing is Jesus loves you.
Yes,
simple, but it's fact. It's the truth. Guess what? It'll last forever.
Amen. Amen.
When I say forever, I mean ever.
Mm-hmm.
No. I got to go over that one more time so you understand, because you just stopped one place in your brain. And I want to go a little bit farther than that. Ever.
Right.
No, we're going to go a little bit more. Ever. He loves you forever.
Hallelujah.
You will never end. It will never end. His love for you.
Thank you, Jesus.
So I'm sharing this to this group. And she just starts bawling, crying. The top person, the one that runs this organization, the one that stands before Congress people right now and talks about juvenile justice and how we're doing it in the United States. All right? And she's bawling. Do you understand? Crying. And then finally she gets up and leaves. The next morning I go and we have breakfast and then we start our meetings. And she comes up to me right when I walk in that room, and she walks over to me. She says, my mom passed last night. But she said, Dean, because of what you said, I'm at peace with it. Do you hear what I just said? And she said, can you come outside and pray with me? Do you hear what I just said? There is no other way but through Jesus Christ. And he has done something for each and every one of us. He's literally prepared a place for us. And no one else can take that place but you.
Right.
I don't think we realize how huge that is. You got a place in heaven that nobody else can take. Here, you can get up and you can move around in different seats. Someone else can sit where you were sitting. I hope this ain't one of those churches that you have your favorite seat and no one else can sit in it. I've experienced those. You're in my seat. Get out of my seat. You understand what I'm talking about. Okay? But Jesus literally has prepared a place for you. That was one of the biggest things that hit me. Was when I was there, I was in my place. And no one else could take that place. It was mine. Just mine. I wasn't being selfish because he had everybody else's place too. But that was my place. I used to think this. I used to think, well, when I get there, he's going to have a place for me. In the King James, it says a mansion. So I was looking for a mansion. Do you guys hear what I said? I was looking for a mansion. Okay. But when I got there and I was in my place, forget the mansion. You're going to think the same thing. A lot of the things you think you're going to want, you're going to say, forget them. Because they're not going to be important to you.
Right.
What's going to be important to you is you're going to be there with your Father and Jesus. And that's what's going to count. I say that to you because I want you to understand that he has prepared a place just for you. And no one else can move in that area. Grab it. Hold on to it. My desire this morning that when I spoke, that when I spoke, that you would grab what I said. You're my family. I want you to have it so badly. I want you to leave here today understanding that you have a place. And no one can take that place. Because he has prepared it just for you. You are that important to him. You do mean that much to him. Your place cannot be taken by anybody else. Some of you are getting free right now. You're literally getting free because you're understanding that you don't have to buy it. You don't have to perform for it. You don't have to dance for it. You don't even have to shout for it. He said, I go to prepare a place just for, what's your name?
Ted.
Ted what?
Frazier.
Ted Frazier. No one can have his place. Ted,
amen.
Nobody can have your place.
Amen.
No one can take it. It's your place. And you don't have to worry about moving anyone else out of it. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's your place. I go to prepare a place for you. When I was there, and I saw the throne, and I saw the worship before the throne, and I've explained a little bit of it here. I didn't get to go into a detail. Maybe someday I will be able to go into a detail, because I could spend the whole time talking about the worship before the throne. The whole time here. And more. When I was up there speaking in north of Spokane, I got carried away. I'll be honest with you. We started at 7 o'clock and didn't end until 10:30. And they were pointing at the clock, telling me time. That's what the people were. But the people I was talking to, they would have gone to 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. Okay? So I could explain this praise before the throne in such a way that would take all the time. Because it's more than you ever think of. And it's radical, like you never believe. You that are conservative, you're not conservative here. I really believe the most conservative person here is the least conservative up there. You don't raise your hands here, you don't bow, you don't praise, you don't do all that. There, you just go crazy. I just really believe that. I just really believe that. And the reason for it is because you're there before your Father and Jesus. Before your Father and Jesus. See, when I was down at Jesus' feet and I said, you did this for me, and some of you have heard that before, I said that everything about my essence was praising him. Everything. Everything. Everything that made me up was praising Jesus. So you think about it. You get a multitude of beings up there and everything they have is praising the Lord. What do you think is going to happen?
Hallelujah.
Do you hear what I just said?
Yeah.
But what got me was one of the things that got me is when the beings would raise up and they would open up their mouths and they would praise the Father and that music would come out, just come out. Everybody's voice had a place. And no one could take the place of your voice. Did you just hear what I just said?
Yeah.
Everybody's voice had a place. And no one could take the place of your voice. I know that's kind of hard for us to grab because of where we live at right now. But in reality, that's how we're supposed to be living here.
Yes. Yes, sir.
See, you have a place here that no one else can take. The devil may put some resistance up against it sometimes, but God has a place for you that no one can take.
Amen.
So you're in this body here for a reason. You didn't stumble in here. Okay, can I go there? Can I go there? You didn't stumble here. You have a purpose for being in this body.
Amen.
I have a purpose for being in this body.
I
talked to Pastor Butler and I talked to Pastor Cook and I said, when we first had this happen to us, we used to run a home church. That's what we did. We were pastors of a home church, about 15 people. That's what we did. But when this first happened to us, we no longer could do that because people were asking us to go all over the place. And I said to my wife, we need to find a body to plant ourselves into. Do you hear what I just said? Okay. You say, well, you just went to heaven. You just did this. Why would you plant yourself in a body? Why would you plant yourself in a church? You've seen the God Almighty face to face. I was at the feet of Jesus. Why would I? Aren't you above that? Think about it. Just what I just said.
Yeah.
Do you hear me? So we looked around, and I really didn't care where we went, to be honest with you. I just knew we had to be planted somewhere. And one Sunday we were in another church, and I was getting ready to fill out the forms. You know how you fill out the forms? You guys know what I'm talking about. All right. And I stopped. See, we had just come to buy his word the Sunday before, and we just connected with Pastor Cook and Pastor Butler. We connected. Our spirits agreed. You know what the Bible says, two or three agree on anything, it shall be done. Think about that. Well, our spirits agreed. So I'm sitting there getting ready to sign up, and I told my wife next to me, no, this is not where we're supposed to be. I really believe we're supposed to be at by his word. That's what I believe. And so we decided that we would talk to Pastor John and Pastor Jan, and we would ask them about coming here. Now, my biggest fear, and I had a fear. Can I tell you what the fear was? That you would treat me like a celebrity. I didn't want to be a celebrity. See, I'm just like you. You cut me open, I bleed just like you do. You hit me in the face, I'm going to swell up. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I'm just like you. You know, yeah, I had an experience that took me out of this body, but God put me back in it. Yeah, he healed all the things that Marilyn just talked about, but he didn't make me superhuman. Do you understand what I'm talking about? This ain't no $6 million man. You're that old enough to know what I'm talking about. I'm not. I just am not that person. So I was afraid that when I got here that people would treat me like a celebrity, and I didn't want to be one, because I know one thing. You know what I know? No one. Again, no one. Again, one more time. No one gets praise but the Father and Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Do you hear what I just said?
Amen.
I knew that. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I was there. And the only beings that were getting praise were the Father and Jesus. We always talk about the patriarchs. We talk about Michael. We talk about Gabriel. They all bowing down to Jesus and the Father.
Amen.
And if you're asking me, where is the Holy Ghost? He's here. And if we only understood that, how powerful that is. Someday I'm asking the Lord, let me just let it out about what the Holy Spirit is doing here.
Amen.
But to go again, I knew that. So Pastor Jan, I talked to her. I said, Pastor Brother, I want to come, but I don't want that. I want to come here, and I don't want that. Didn't I tell you that? And he said, oh, I don't think my people will do that. I don't think they'll act that way. Do you hear what I'm saying? But guess what? He was right. He was right. We have come here a number of times. I've come in the back. I've sat over here. I said, I have not been mobbed one time, or no one asked any autographs. You understand? No one said, can I have your autograph, Dean, or anything like that. I introduced myself to people, and they said, we know who you are. But you understand what I'm talking about. So we came into this family here for a purpose.
Praise God.
We were just talking last Tuesday. I go and meet with them every other Tuesday. Let me tell you what they do for me. Since I left this body and came back, I had to integrate back into this body. I ain't doing a good job, have I? I'll just tell you that right now. I haven't done a good job, okay? And Pastor Jan, he told me, he said to me, he said, you are different. You're not the same. In my mind, I said, but. He said, you're different. You're not the same. And I said, but. He said, you're different and not the same. And I had to accept that.
Yeah.
And you guys, any of you that's had any type of out-of-body experience, you know what it feels like to have your body separated from your spirit.
Yes.
And there is a difference there. There's a grieving process that literally goes through. So I sat down with these two, and I started vomiting. Wouldn't you say that? I started throwing up on them. That's a hard word to say. I just let it all hang out. Everything I could, anything I was feeling, anywhere I was. And they would ask me tons of questions. They would just be pumping me. Well, what about this and what about that? And so we got to go through that process. That process has helped me to keep my feet on the ground.
Thank
God.
You,
Jesus. Amen.
Yeah, my wife says, thank you, Jesus. But do you hear what I'm saying? But we came here for a purpose. And we were talking about that just last Tuesday. And I said, Lord, you sent me back, literally sent me back. Okay, you sent me back to buy his word. I know how close it is to the end of time. I feel it. You feel it too.
Yeah.
You deny it. You act like it ain't coming, but it's coming. I tell people it's like a waterfall. You hear it, and it's getting louder and louder and louder and louder. And I said to him, I said, he sent me back, planted me in this body to tell these people, you are an end time church. Get busy and get people to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you're in this body, if you're a part of this body, you are to get to work now.
Yes. Amen.
You that are tarrying, are waiting for a word from God to tell you to get to work, here it is. Get to work. One of the things that I have seen and what I started out with is truth. Remember that? And I said to you, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. So my experience of going and being with the Father and Jesus in heaven, okay, I had to have Jesus inside of me. That was the only way I could get in. There was nothing else I could do but accept him as Lord and Savior. That's what got me in. It's that simple.
Yeah.
Do you hear what I'm saying? I like to talk about my aunt sometimes. My Aunt Barbara. She didn't live a life that I thought would get her into heaven. But she was there. Now, I didn't know her or be around her while the last few years when she was dying of cancer. Do you understand what I mean? I wasn't there. But she must have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior to be in. Do you hear what I just said? Okay. There are a lot of people there that we didn't think would be there because they accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And there's a lot of people there that we thought should have been there that are not. Because they confessed with their mouth, but they didn't believe in their heart.
Yes. Yes.
It's a heart change.
Amen.
But if you're here in this body, you're literally, and this isn't to build this body up bigger than any other body out there, because our Father is raining down, our Lord is raining down on the whole earth. I saw the activity. There's a lot of activity coming from heaven down to here right now. Many of you have had heavenly experiences with angels more than you want to admit. I know, because I go places and you take me aside and start telling me your stories. Oh, so-and-so and so-and-so, and this happened to me and this happened to me. But we don't want to tell everybody else because, you know, in America, we got places like Western State, things like that. Am I right? You know, so we don't want to tell everybody we see in angels. You know what I'm talking about? You know, are we seeing other things that we don't understand how to explain? But the Father and Jesus are raining down on this earth like you wouldn't believe right now. I saw it. I saw the activity. There is so much activity happening right now. But this church, this body, has a place in God's kingdom for this time. No accident that you're born right now. No accident. You have a place. I don't want to disappoint some of you, but I know this may disappoint some of you. You have a purpose up there, too. You're not going to just be sitting around doing nothing. You have a purpose. I'm just letting you know right now. But you have a purpose right here, and they are connected.
Amen.
They are not separated. So let's make up in our minds as this body. By his word. That's what we call it here. The Father calls it his church. Jesus calls you sons and daughters. But by his word, this body right here, let's make up in our mind. And this time, right now, that we all hear the waterfall coming. We all know that the end of time is coming. That we'll get busy to get other people to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Can I? He tells me I can do this, so he gives me permission to do this though. Me and him talked. Me and your pastor talked. He teaches the word. He teaches the word. I was here Easter Sunday, and what he taught was so profound, we should all been exploding. Because truth is truth, and your spirit knows truth. And he was teaching the word. My son said, boy, you got to be reading your Bible to understand what he's talking about. I am glad. Do you understand? We have gotten away from the word so much into all this other stuff to try to reach the world. We're giving them false hope because we're not giving them the truth. The truth is the word. Listen to what I just said. That's what sustains us. It's God's word. And for you, this is revelation. For some of you, you already know it. We call God, God. Okay? Where I was, they call him the word. Did you just hear what I just said? Where I was, they call him the word. The word said. You hear that over and over and over. The word said. So we were talking, me and him. And I have been going every places. And the groups I've seen mostly on fire for the Lord are the elderly, the older group, and the little kids, the younger ones. And I'm not talking about little kids. I mean teenagers. Those are the two groups I've been seeing that's on fire for the Lord. I'm just being honest with you right now. And I said to him, it would be terrible. Just said it the other night in our Bible group, didn't I? It would be terrible when that group dies off. There is such a gap between them and the teenagers. Do you hear what I just said? Because they will die. They will finish their course. They will go home. And Jesus won't say, it's not your time. Go back. You'll get to stay. Praise God. It's coming. Whether you realize it or not, it's coming. So this body, this church, let's take up our swords. Let's put on our armor. Let's do what I did not want to come back for. See, I wanted to stay on that side because there's an army on that side that's fighting. And they're doing everything that Jesus said do. They're not questioning it. They're not hesitating. They're doing. And I knew this army. Do you understand what I'm saying here?
Oh, yeah.
This army. Okay.
Yeah.
But he said, no, it's not your time. Go back. Which came out, interpreted to me, meaning I need you more over here than here right now.
Right. Amen.
Just like you all. He needs us here. Amen. To march in this army. Because when these guys go, us that are around my age, they're gone. And they're teaching the word. Do you hear what I just said? They're teaching the word.
Yes.
And this church is being inundated with the word of God.
Yes.
And where the word is, Jesus is.
Yep. Yes.
Where the word is, you got heavenly hosts here that you can't even see.
Mm-hmm.
They love the word too.
Yep.
Where the word is. Understand that. So Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And someday you will be there with him. But understand this. He is with you now. Here. And he has a place for you right here on this earth. The time is short. Shorter than I want it to be. Shorter than each and every one of us should want it to be. Not because we're not looking forward to our Jesus return, but because we got so many people to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I'll end with this. Two things. If you're born again and you're in a family, you're put there for a reason, and that's to get people to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I heard a great testimony this morning about a man that doesn't really belong to this family anymore. You that were in the Bible study know what I'm talking about this morning. And yet he's still ministering unto that family. that was once a part of him. He's not letting that stop him from doing what he's supposed to do, and that is to reach out to every member of his family. Do you hear what I just said? And the other thing that's very important for you to know, it's never an accident. You may think it is, that you're sitting by that next person, that you're standing by that next person, that you're riding in the car with that next person, that you're on the bus with that next person. Not us. Not us that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We don't have accidents in our lives. Every appointment that we have is divine. Did you hear what I just said to you?
Yeah.
Every appointment is divine. Everyone that you come in contact, you that know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, you that say he is Lord, he is your king. Because you said you're in this army just like me. You do not have accidents of sitting by anybody or being around anybody that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You're there for a reason. Jesus said you're a light on the hill. Ain't that what he said? Salt of the earth? Ain't that what he said?
That's right.
That's no accident.
Amen.
You that want a copy of the CDs that me and Marilyn did, we put some in the bookstore. We give them away mostly now. You can leave a donation if you want. You don't have to. We just give them away. So there's a few in there in the bookstore. You can go in there and get one. There's two of them. One's called Pressing In. That's Maryland's side of it. Really how to battle demons and win. Seriously. Okay. And then there's the one I say, you did this for me, which is the heavenly side. Go get them. Take them. If there's not enough, maybe Pastor Cook's wife will, Mrs. Cook will take your name and we'll get you one. We want them out there. They're going all over the world, and we're not stopping them. They're even on your website. You know, I saw them there on the website. So you can go down there, download them there, or listen to them on the website, whatever you want to do. I just found that out last night. And then my son does Christian rap, and so we brought a few of his CDs. You can take those also. He don't want to give them, sell them either, so just take them. One says teenager on it. One says children. The one for the children is a lot milder than the one for the teenagers. The one for the teenagers is talking about issues that teenagers go through. So make sure if you do, and then you parents listen to it before you let your child listen to it. Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah.
You listen to it first. I don't care if you don't like rap. Listen. Do not let that junk go into your children's heads before you hear what they're listening to. And I'm not saying my son's stuff is junk. All I'm saying is listen to it first. Do you hear me? Okay. Pastor Jan, you want to come up and can I just pray? Can I pray before?
Yeah.
I'm going to pray for you because you're my brothers and sisters. You know what? We say in the Lord, but whatever way would you want it? I mean, you even want your brothers and sisters to be in the Lord because that means they're going to be with you for eternity. Do you hear what I'm saying? So what other way would you want it but in the Lord?
Amen.
And I'm going to pray to my Father for you. And he knows my heart. I may not always pronounce all the words correctly, but he knows my heart. And he knows that I desire that you really have this experience that I have. And not dying, but in the sense of experiencing heaven in such a way that you walk here on earth knowing that when you praise your Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, when you praise your Father and Jesus Christ, that when you praise your Father and Jesus Christ, that you're in their presence. I cannot stand. I can't keep my knees from hitting the ground anymore because I know who entered the room. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know who Jesus is, and I know he enters the room. He enters his praise. He enters it. He never doesn't come. Do you guys hear what I say? Sometimes you say we feel the presence. Sometimes we don't feel the presence. He doesn't never come. He loves you that much. And when you start praising him, He comes. He enters this room. He comes. He comes. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you. I thank you for this opportunity to share and speak your words to your children, to your people, to your sons and daughters, to your church. I thank you right now, Lord, that you've spoken to their hearts, their spirit, the real person, the one that will last for eternity. I thank you right now, Lord, that you are answering questions for those that have been praying and asking many questions of you on certain issues and items. And literally today, you spoke to them personally and answered that question. I thank you, Lord, that you said that they are important to you and that you love them so much. And Father, that you have literally called them by name for a purpose, for a place. And that no one else, no thing can replace them in that purpose or that place. It was made for them. It was created for them by you. I thank you, Lord, that they understand that you are the Word. And that's who you are. And that's your truth. And from this moment on, when they go out and they hear any truth, no matter what it is, where it is, or how it happens, literally inside of them, just like John the Baptist jumped inside of Elizabeth, that they will bubble up and have that jump in their spirit. Father, I ask right now that you go before them. And those that need to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they need to know your Son, that you go before them with your angels and battle the spiritual battles in the heavenlies, so that when they come, they already know that the ground is prepared, that the people's ears are open to hear them, and that you have given them that faith, that assurance, that power by your Holy Spirit to speak your words to these people so that they can come into the kingdom. Lord, just as I have done, praying for that you send more laborers out into the harvest where the harvest is plenty. I pray that that would be a desire of their heart, that they keep on praying. This church, this body, by his word, would pray that we send out more into the harvest. Amen. We will go and we will pray that others will go. Doesn't matter how old they are or how young they are, but they will go out to bring those that are asking, seeking for truth into your kingdom so that they can have that place in heaven also. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.